you visit.
Where's my boyfriend hiding in the back?
Did he take the clicker away?
No.
That's it.
I didn't touch the clicker.
No, that's fine.
Okay, shall we get started?
Alright,
cool. Thank you everybody for coming through. I'm going to start off with the magic trick, Kulak's magic. Raise your hands. And I get a volunteer for the magician to have an assistant. Who wants to be an assistant? No, you want to be an assistant, okay, so I'm going to steal a photograph. Cool. So while I'm playing that magic trick, I'm going to quickly start and say hello to everybody. My name is Yesh. I'm the district manager. Oh, let's see if I can get there quickly. There we go. Thanks for joining. And as guys walk in, we'll certainly get there. So, so I'm Yesh. I'm the district manager at HP. And I'm not the sales manager, as my title was announced earlier. You actually have the sales manager right here as well, so Adele. She's the sales manager at HP. So today in this session, it's two for the price of one. And I hope that if you have anything, we can certainly keep you entertained and energized. And that's what it is. That's my magic trick happening right there. That's HP's smallest, the world's smallest printer. That's a picture for Adele. Yours. Cool. So hopefully you're going to see some magic. Anybody want to sign it?
Don't sign it.
We're not really going to be talking about this product today, but really this is, I think, what I'm hopefully going to interest you all about is that there's a market for this and there is a new world happening out there and it's changing. So hopefully these kind of things are going to give us evidence of what we need to be aware of when our future's in play. And I hope today's session is going to give you some idea of what that's going to be like. So without further ado, I normally have a lot to cover. I'm going to try and squeeze 40 minutes and download that to you because you're all super good at collecting information and try and keep you as engaged and enthralled on my topic for today. But let's quickly start with a video, and I hope this gives you an idea of who HP is and where we play.
This is a story of reinvention. I think our brand is synonymous with experiences that are made.
We have a mission. We need to reinvent the dream business.
$55 billion copy and statement, which we think is absolutely ripe for disruption.
HP Inc. unveiling the world's first production-ready commercial 3D printing system.
The cusp of the next industrial revolution.
We're reinventing our portfolio at the same time we're reinventing the PC.
That gives you a little an idea about what HP is, and HP is effectively all of that condensed in a couple of minutes of video. There's a lot coming out of that, and I thought that would be an easy way for me to translate what we're going to talk about HP today as opposed to some boring slides. Hope that the next slides are going to be more interesting, but really what I just want to say was the key word in that video, which was reinvention, and that's really what we're about. And reinvention is going to be applicable in the definition for all of you at one point or the other, and I want to take you into that journey very quickly. Now, when you read the brief about today, you probably thought you're going to come in here and you're probably going to see this presentation in VR goggles. You're probably going to have guys passing these around and say, hey, let's see how this happens. I'm not there yet. I don't have the camera work done on me, but as soon as I get that done, you'll certainly take through that experience. But I think today, this is really what's out there. And I don't know if there's a place yet for it, but that's the same question you have around this. Where's the place and what's the practical ability and application of things like that? They'll come in and they'll go out. Like perhaps CDs did to DVDs in certain instances, such as HD ready versus what is out there today, plasma and not. These things are changing, and so a lot of these new technologies are out there, and it's quite confusing on where we need to be. So today I'm not going to take you through this because you can see this downstairs. What you'll also see downstairs, well, maybe not really at today, is how those applications work. And this picture looks kind of cool. It looks kind of nerdish. This is kind of a geek guy. He's got something strapped onto his back. And he's got a VR goggles mounted to him. And what it really is what we have today. This is HP's gaming desktop. That's a desktop. Has its own battery. It's powered, clicks onto a backpack, and straps onto the user themselves. With the VR goggles, they're now untethered. And this is where a gaming environment changes. And as you can see, the design of these are not traditionally as you and I would understand as being a desktop. They look quite significantly cool, quite significantly wicked, as most of the gamers would tell you. And I think that's really one idea that you can say is real happening today. The next thing that happens today, which you will see downstairs, is immersive computing. And this is HP Sprout, which is the world's first 3D computer. And what that means is I can interact with that device in a spatial environment. The distance between the keyboard and mouse is how I interact with the device. And I can actually make it into a much more practical environment as a notebook would be today. And that's downstairs. What you'll also see downstairs is HP's ZVR monitor. Now, that is exactly what it does. It allows you to take the content that you'd normally display on a 1D or a two-dimensional environment and bring it out to a 3D image that can be manipulated, turned around. And I'll talk a little bit about that technology going forward. But I don't think you're all here today to hear about what's in the market today. You also want to know what's happening in the future. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the future and tell you that predicting it isn't always easy. We make some decisions, and there's some technologies out there, but not all of them will actually survive, or they might change rapidly than we expect. So we sometimes know that people get it wrong. Computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. That was one comment that the Popular Mechanics in 1949. How wrong was that?
That's
crazy. Imagine. And I mean, if you look at it today, I can tell you, I mean, if you're walking around with computers in your pockets anyway, they come in the form of mobile phones or smartphones, as we call them. A couple of other crazy suicidal career mistakes was cell phones will absolutely not replace local wire systems. That's Marty Cooper, inventor of the mobile phone himself. I mean, how drastically shortcoming is that statement? And we all know today, everything has to be Wi-Fi. Mm. Spoke to my nephew the other day, and we were talking about it. He said, when are we going to go fishing? I was like, oh yeah, we can go fishing on the pier. What is the first question that came up? Do they have Wi-Fi on it? And I think we all do it as well, right? I mean, we need Wi-Fi to exist. It's not about being trained into one point. And then there's other comments about what will happen to the PC. A notebook this shape that has been with us for the last 25 years is probably going to be with us in 25 years. How many of you will say yes to that? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe not. Maybe it is. But I think really what I want to do today in the next couple of minutes is give you an idea. But if there were no multipurpose computers, and there were no keyboards anymore, as you're seeing in some of our products, and there are no dedicated screens, what would HP look like in the future? So this is what's driving it. 25 billion connected things by 2020. Consider that number to change. In different presentations today, you'll hear bigger numbers, different ones. And they're all important to know that this is really what's driving the change in technology. So we at HP call this change our blended reality. And blended reality is just merging, and the merging of the digital space with the physical space, the ability to interact differently with computers. And there's a couple of key highlights, and I just want to take you very quickly through it. 3D transformation, I'll talk to you a little bit about 3D today. So having 3D objects being created today downstairs, you'll also see some companies showing you some 3D printers that you're creating some objects. Immersive experiences like this product, being able to transact and relate to these devices in more ways than just the physical mechanism of a keyboard. Hypermobility. Many of you might have realized that walking around today would have actually given you a lot more steps on your pedometer. But many of us have these wristbands that are actually measuring our heart rates. These are hypermobility. Consider that the future of these could change because you actually want to be connected all the time, and you are. There's more people than you care to know knows that you're sitting in the room with me today. Not because you chose it, but because you've actually allowed them to do it by holding a device in your hand. That's the sad truth. Internet of Things is what will drive it. So not only will we become aware, and not only will we have devices that we choose to be aware with, but what really happens is that the buildings become aware. The light bulb that's worked on here, as an example, will eventually migrate into a low-cost, low-energy consumption device that actually can tell how many people are sitting in the room. You didn't choose that. You didn't ask for that to happen, but the building facility seems to know that it's true and what's going on. So the connected environment of Internet of Things is really the big one. But what do you do with all that data? And really, the smart machines is how they're processing their data and making it to real environments, which has created the Uberization of many companies. So Uber exists not because they own taxis, right? We know that. They exist because they can manipulate and understand data better to be able to connect one to the other. That's what's happening today in the world. So when we talk back to HP and we have a look at the interface of our interactions with our devices, we move from point, click, and type to today what smartphones and tablets are doing is saying, you're going to have touch, swipe, and of course then talk. Siri does that very well. Microsoft Cortana does that very well. You have an ability to interact in a different way. But the next generation where we're focusing is on is gesture-based computing. The ability to take gestures and translate that into an action or a command. The mood. If I don't feel right, I should be able to know it, and the building should know that. The chair that you're sitting on at one day should have a sensor that tells you, if you guys are all too uncomfortable in my presentation, it's time to take a break. These are the things that are actually going to change the way that things are going forward. Then, of course, gazing in the sense of actually getting authentication and being able to authenticate yourself other than your fingerprint or a password, and the ability to look and recognize the face that the person or the computer is relating to. So there's things that are going to happen, and you have to think this every day. You're either going to be disrupted by this technology, or you're going to choose to disrupt your market with this technology. And that's a choice you'll fundamentally have every day of your lives going forward. So how do we address that? And what do we look in terms of the trends for 2017 going forward? Well, there's a couple. And here's a little bit of a pop quiz. How many of you can recognize what that device is on the screen right now? Go for it.
It's one of those stress things.
Stress things? Close enough, right? Yeah, absolutely. It's something, they call it the finger gym. It's used to strengthen your fingers the same way. Probably a stress reliever as well. Why would I be presenting you that today? Well, because it's not about the device, it's the fact that it was actually printed. Yes. Today, we print in paper. Tomorrow, we're printing mechanized devices that are not inanimate. They're actually movable devices. And this is what the world is going to move to very quickly. Rapidly, 3D printing is the fastest growing market that we have today, and we talk about manufacturing. I wish that we have one down here today, but we're talking about a different segment, not necessarily the commercialized environment. If we take the jet fusion that we have in our printing, the super fast printing, allow it to do 10 times faster at half the cost, the market's going to change. In a normal manufacturing environment, what you'll find is that unless you've got the right material and you put a die and you put it into an extrusion plant, unless you're building 5,000 of them, it's not really feasible. But what about if I decided I wanted one component for one thing and my market was between 1 and 500? I should be able to print it on the fly at the moment when I need it, how I need it, and in the material I want. So there's a new industry created for industry and polymer creation. How can I create different materials that allow you that flexibility? How do I create things that are static? And we talk about 4D printing, and 4D printing means not just creating a 3D object like a brace on your hand, but also creating one that can actually move and manipulate its shape over time, depending on how you function. That's the fourth concept if you talk about 3D printing. And so whether it's ceramics now, there's a complete new industry being created for that. And almost they call it the periodic table on the top right here. It's a periodic table of 3D printer. Thermoplastics, because there's a new market created to create this, because these machines don't rely on one type of component, they can have multiple attached to it. Super interesting, but it's really about the personalization. A quick graph here, so don't stress too much and don't get afraid. Consumers prefer uniqueness, that's the message. You and I want to be unique. I can't be at the same function or the same outfit as somebody else. I want to be different. And so we're seeing that in terms of their buying patterns, in terms of the ways that they're engaging in their markets and saying, I'd like something different. That is the cost on somebody's hand. Looks quite different. It's quite cool, right? It can't be 5 minutes. I just started. But really, where it is really about going into the fact of changing the cost as you and I know it, because people are looking at personalization, and personalization exists today, just like your mailbox taking junk mail out of it and separating that for you. So we move, and where do we see that going? It's from mass production to mass customization. So I shouldn't be able to walk into a shop and buy my tackies. I should be able to print it. And that's what the expectation is. Now, if you interface things like that into things of where you're using your brain and your cognitive capabilities, then potentially what will happen is you can add nicer features, safety features, eye tracking for driver distraction, biosensor, HR-based. I can now identify you based on your heart rate and your heartbeat to be able to be a second-level authentication. And of course, the wearable fitness industry that's growing quite crazy. Here's iFluence, a silicon-based company purchased by Google. And what they do is create, effectively, a contact lens that allows you to be able to maneuver through your choice of whatever you're selecting or focusing on. And yes, it exists in a contact lens format. So this is it, augmented vision, they call that. And that's really a new way of interfacing into computers, integrated with a camera and a display, and then moving over onto solar display, because hopefully, at the end of the day, you'll have to charge it just as much as we do many things today. It's real, and it's now, and it's changing. Here's a scary one, FDA-approved ingestible sensor. A capsule, I swallow, it goes to the point of where it needs to be and sends a signal to the patch on your body to tell you how much of medication you need to actually dispose to the patient when you need it. It's fundamentally revolutionary. FDA approved, the world has changed. So we move from fast, standardized, reactive type behavior when we talk about health to more of a personalized and a preventative remote care. because it really helps to be more preventative and ready for this disruptive environment. And healthcare will be everywhere, and I'm not sure if the guys are for this session or not, but it might be earlier. This is really what's important, is because the future of this is going to be a mix of automation, but also people, but it's really going to be built around the data that is really being shared and information. This is what you need to worry about, and in a sense, that worry about in an important way. Digital nomads, they're the next generation. Anyone born here out of 1995 onwards in the room? I'm not sure, maybe not, but my kids are, and they're horrible in the way we can manage them, because they just don't have the same behavior I did when I was at their age. They're digital nomads, they have very little respect for time, they have very much destructive behavior, they are very sure what they want and when they need it, and they're very sure to stop taking things when they don't want it and assume that there's no consequence thereof. They're called digital nomads because they're born with digital in their hand, and they create a fundamentally different market for us to attract to, because they believe they can get access to anything, and they will not be as satisfied as you and I sitting in a company for 10 years or 15 years. That's not their design. Their design is the new full-time employees. There will be guys that are moving from one gig to the next. They call them the gig generation. They work with less predictability for organizations, but they really are evolving teams. They can work better in conjunction with other people you might not necessarily meet, see, or hear, or touch, but really actually work with that. They work from virtual offices and have devices, and they're born with digitization in their hand. So I know my time is up, and I really apologize. I wish I could share with you a little bit more, but I'll try and wrap it up if I may. There's a couple of things that I want, and I think this is where the next step is going. These generations shop differently. They move from online shopping to retail shopping, right, to a blended shopping experience. That's what they're asking for, so businesses have to migrate to address them. And more importantly, personalized shopping, because they need to be different. Shopping today for them is going to be a completely different environment, so shops will change and have to address them, because unless you're addressing them specifically, you cannot have a rack of X amount of stuff selling to them. That's an unfortunate world. So in summary, what I wanted to share with you is that there's a couple of what we call megatrends at HP. And what we believe is that everything that can be digital will be digital at HP. It represents huge and growing opportunity for us. And you will see this rapid change in the digitized economy. So whether it's healthcare today, or whether it's AI, or the new consumers that we have of tomorrow, or the new office environment, everything is personalized, and everything's relative to you to include it into the device, into the machine, and you become part of a blended society, a blended reality. And that's the HP story. I thank you for your time.